Guess what day it is?
Hold on, I'll get it. Oh, hump day, hump day.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
Spent an hour last night.
Now I've tuned to you.
Researching Ecuador.
And the day's all right with me. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
you think this
yeah,
job isn't
yeah,
weird?
Yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be.
Come on, kids, sing along in your cars.
The Steve Cochran
Show.
Dave bringing in his baritone.
Do you like that?
I remember when you did that with the Pips. Which Pip were you, left, center, or middle?
I was middle.
Yeah. Middle Pip, that's Dave. It's 6:11, good morning, and welcome to show number 600, and it's not numbered. What's today's show? It's not numbered.
Oh.
Lost count.
Six. Aren't we at 7 yet?
30.
Where are we?
2.
I think it's 627.
7.
Oh.
Okay.
Mary's just verified 627.
627.
627.
Oh. 627. People ask me all the time, why do you number the shows? I don't know.
That's your answer?
Yeah, I don't know. I just started doing it, you know? So if I knew what was going on around here, things would be different.
You should answer it this way, because I can.
It's my show. I'll do whatever I want.
Because Steve and Johnny did it. They were up to what?
Did they number the shows?
Oh, my gosh.
There are thousands.
Thousands.
Oh, I would think, sure.
You got a long way to go.
Well, no, I just... Actually, the real reason I've talked about this is the legal reasons. You know, so when Dave sues me, I'll know what number show the offense took place in.
You're about 100 away from 2 full calendar years of shows.
Of my life that I'll never see again. Right. I hope this audience appreciates it. By the way, congratulations to everybody on this fine radio station, which is my favorite. And thank you to this audience, which is so supportive and amazing, again, for coming back. I'm saying it 2 years later, but it means, or almost 3 years later, but it still means the same to me. Because we had great ratings again. And, it doesn't happen. Imagine if people weren't listening. What the hell are we getting up for? So people are listening. They're supporting the station, supporting the shows, and it's highly appreciated. By the way, Ro and Anna, a really good book. Book is a ratings period, by the way.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So
think Anna, it's Kevin?
I think it is the addition of Kevin. That's a very good point. It's the addition of Kevin Powell to do sports on the Ro Khan Show.
By the way, congratulations in order. You are a Silver Dome nominee. Dave Annett is a Silver
is a,
Dome nominee.
Is that a
nominee.
Bald joke?
No. This is a very nice award to be nominated
And Andrea
for.
Is a Silver Dome nominee.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations
on your
to
domage.
You guys. On my domage.
When is that? When are the awards?
Dave?
Is there a red carpet?
I don't know.
That's the
why are you going to be?
Illinois broadcaster.
I just want people to ask me who I'm wearing so I can say Dockers.
I think it's in May.
So it's in May. Okay.
Dockers? You're going to wear Dockers?
Who am I wearing? Dockers. Who am I wearing? Kohl's.
How about maybe Vera Wang or
Vera Wang's husband, Bob Wang. I told you what's coming up on the show today. So let me tell you a little bit about what happened last night. Donald Trump's family was on CNN, and they were very likable and respectful and quiet. So I'm not sure any of them are related to him. He, on the other hand, was as appealing as he's ever been because he wasn't talking. And he was beaming with pride when his kids were talking. I will say this, if I'm not a hypocrite, and obviously occasionally I am, but if I'm not a hypocrite, I have to say that one of my rules in life is you're defined by how your kids feel about you. And if your kids love you, and if your kids respect you, and if they're not just in it for the money, your kids will treat you a certain way. And the kids seem to love their dad. They really do.
And he really does appear to dote on them. I mean, he's very proud of his kids. I know many work for him. But
they
just seem to be very... I don't think Ivanka does. I think she has her own clothing line. Does Ivanka work for him too?
Yeah, she runs one of his companies.
Barron doesn't yet.
Oh, he should. He's 10. Get off your butt, Barron. he said a couple of things that were Trumpian. One of the things last night that was typical Trumpster. Is that the rules are stacked against him. and that the RNC is making up rules so he'll lose. Again, it's very simple, folks. 1,237 delegates needed to get the nomination. If he gets 1,237, he's in. We'll be in Cleveland to help everybody count. Also yesterday, the city's aldermen and alderwomen met to grill, in quotes, the new police superintendent, Eddie Johnson. Looks like it went pretty well. We'll talk to one of the aldermen about that coming up. And that's kind of an interesting twist. California is considering changing the statute of limitations law for sex crimes so they can put Bill Cosby in prison.
How about that?
How about that? Mm-hmm. Didn't see that coming.
You know what? Honestly, though, that should have been done a long time ago because the statute of I don't think there should be any statute of limitations on any crime.
On any crime?
Especially
Hold on a second.
A sex crime. All right, maybe not. Maybe
parking?
Minor offenses, yeah.
I'm trying to think of crimes you've committed.
How about felonies?
Felonies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've committed no crimes.
Well, the reason for a statute of limitation is if you need a witness, the witness's accounts change. And,
right.
You know, stories blur.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been on the run from the law and now in my ninth different identity. Madigan met with the governor yesterday, did nothing, and then blasted the governor. Big surprise there. And, of course, the Blues and the Blackhawks tonight. It's 6:17. Let's get traffic in here with Mary. You know what I did yesterday, Mary?
You took a nap in your car.
Nope. I proofread my daughter's master's thesis.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, you know, 50 pages.
How long was that?
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's about applied behavioral therapy for working with children with autism.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask me how much I understood.
I was going to say.
I understood that she had a lot of commas.
Yeah, you did the punctuation.
She misspelled a couple of words. Yeah.
Did you add in really, 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 really to take up a bunch of words?
I asked at one point why she didn't cite Cheech and Chong or any of the sources I would have used.
Yes.
So, but very proud of Amy Cochran as she finishes her master's thesis while she's working full time.
That's fantastic.
She may be too smart for my family.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I believe he is the right person at the right time to serve as interim superintendent. He has the command, the character, and the capability to lead the department at this critical juncture.
It's an honor to serve you. I'm one of you. I grew up here. I raised my kids here. My family is here. I patrol the neighborhoods at every hour of the day and night for 27 years. Countless incidents of courage and professionalism far outweigh a few examples of excessive force. Nevertheless, these incidents, no matter how isolated, undermine our entire department and our relationship with the community. We have to own it, and we have to end it.
As the city heads for what traditionally is a very violent phase in the calendar, you look backwards and you go, well, hasn't it already been bad enough this year? And the answer, of course, is yes. The alderman sat down with Eddie Johnson, the prospective new police superintendent. For those of you who missed the process, there was a committee that was chosen and led by an individual that put together a list of people that would be the finalists that Mayor Emanuel would screen before he chose the new super. That turned out to be three different people, and those three different people were all from small to medium-sized police departments. The mayor decided that none on that list were right for the job, and then asked Eddie Johnson, who's been a longtime member of the Chicago Police Department and a boss, to apply. It has now moved to the stage of having the alderman screen him. They did yesterday. And now I believe it's all formalities going forward. But we're going to talk to Alderman Ariel Raboiteras from the 30th about it, chairman of the Public Safety Committee, and about Eddie Johnson's visit yesterday. I'm sorry, Alderman. Is it Raboiteras? Is that right?
Raboiteras is correct.
All right, good. I want to make sure I wasn't disrespecting you. So tell me about the meeting with Eddie.
Well, it was about a three-hour-long meeting, and finally he was approved. He was vetted, as the council members wanted to do, and it took a while, but it went pretty smoothly.
Is there any misgivings in any way, anything that concerned you?
No. I was shocked that we didn't have more outside visitors speaking on the subject matter. We had a few. Not as many as I thought we would. I did expect it to go as smoothly as it went. Some of the members were not very happy that we were amending an existing ordinance that was evidently placed in 1960, an ordinance that states that members of the police board select the three finalists, and then the mayor chooses. So we amended that existing ordinance and went right for the vote. But and just so everyone knows, the ordinance is still in process after today's city council vote.
Well,
after the confirmation vote today.
I think it's an important distinction, though, right? Because the police board rule that was in play, I thought the mayor had an override on that. He did not prior to this rule change?
He has an override based on what the city council members requested. We touched bases with the police board. They were fine with this. And what I told the council members yesterday, we can move forward to have discussions. We'll include the mayor's office, the police board, and members of the body to either create a new ordinance or amend the existing ordinance that stands in place as law, actually.
So, Alderman, nobody had any problem with the fact that Eddie Johnson, who I'm sure is a wonderful and going to be a wonderful superintendent, that he wasn't even one of the three picks suggested by IPRA, that he was just Mayor Emanuel's pick, random pick, if you will.
No, it was pretty much a love fest. I mean, everybody, they know him very well, city council members. The general public loves this man. He is very passionate about his job, 20 years of service. The only problem some of the members had was the process and the ordinance, the amending the ordinance that exists in the municipal code regarding the appointment of the superintendent of police. But you know, you have to look at this way. The mayor has to live with this selection. The mayor will call this new police superintendent 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
He will touch bases with him on a daily basis, more than they do with each other's wives. So it's the mayor's. You know, if that's the choosing the mayor wants, and the members of the city council wants this, we support it.
Well, I understand it. No, I understand that, and I don't think either one of us are questioning the alderman in doing this specifically. But at a time where transparency is what we continue to hear from the mayor and what's coming out of City Hall, was this process transparent enough?
I believe it is. It is legal what we did, and you know, this is. And, you know, we chose someone that's an insider, as opposed to the last two superintendents being from an outside source. I believe it's you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. The morale, as you know, is really, really low, at its lowest peak right now in the police department. I believe the confirmation today will, if you have a level that you look at the morale, I believe it's in the upward motion right now.
Because of the appointment of Eddie. The rank and file's happy with the choice. All right, we're running out of time. One last thing before you go. Why didn't he apply in the first place?
He felt that he would be in deference to John Escalante. He knew that Escalante was one of the persons that applied. He didn't want to do it for fear that he would cause a little problem internally,
okay.
And he was supporting Escalante, so that makes him even a better selection.
Yeah, he didn't want to bigfoot him. I get all that. Look, I, the process a little clumsy, but if it turns out to be a great super, that obviously is the win. So the confirmation vote on what you guys did yesterday is today?
It's today. That's correct. At 10 a.m.
All right, Alderman, thank you. I appreciate your time. Alderman Ariel Robles from the 30th Ward. Chairman of the Public Safety Committee on Eddie Johnson and yesterday's vetting, or as he called it, Love Fest.
Love Fest.
Now, you live in the city. Does that concern you?
Not so much. I mean, I think he is a good choice. What concerns me is we have this German journalist who we spoke to yesterday visiting us and watching us, kind of studying us this week. And the first thing she said to me is, tell me about the South Side. Tell me about Chicago. All the murders,
everybody's
killings.
Everybody's image is this is murder city.
The gangs are running the street, which really in many neighborhoods, the gangs have really overtaken many of these communities. And I want to know, as a resident of Chicago, how Eddie Johnson is going to try and combat that.
If I ask the alderman why didn't Eddie apply and the answer was who wants the job, that would be a sensible answer as well. But He's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's going to be a great superintendent.
And this is on the mayor. This is the mayor's choice. This is on the mayor for this to work. This has to work, or it's the mayor's fault. There's no way to argue that. Coming up on 6:30, big story in a moment. And then before 7 o'clock, we got a couple of things to accomplish, including a mention about my friends over at Honor Flight. They have something cool coming up. Let's do this first on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Got a Tom Skilling moment from last night's WGN TV News at 5, which you got to hear. It's just tremendous. And you know I love Skilling. It's so good, I can't wait to play it. I think I just want to talk about it. I don't even want to play it. Playing it may ruin it. A little bit of the sound of yesterday. Paul Ryan says, I will not run for president. I will not accept your nomination at this time. Here's Paul Ryan from yesterday.
It is not my job to tell delegates what they should do. But I've got a message to relay today. We have too much work to do in the House to allow this speculation to swirl or to have my motivations questioned. So let me be clear. I do not want, nor will I accept the nomination for our party. So let me speak directly to the delegates on this. If no candidate has a majority on the first ballot, I believe that you should only choose from a person who has actually participated in the primary. Count me out. I simply believe that if you want to be the nominee for our party, to be the president, you should actually run for it. I chose not to do this. Therefore, I should not be considered. Period. End of story.
Now, that is not the end of the story. I like Speaker Ryan, but the fact of the matter is, if we have a zoo in Cleveland and we've gone through two rounds, if not three rounds of roll call, and somebody tries to say, Mr. Ryan, for the good of this country, we need you as the third most powerful man in government, the most powerful Republican in this government, we need you to step up. The same way, look, he said he wasn't going to be Speaker of the House. So this speculation will continue. The interesting thing there is he said you should have run. And it's hard to disagree with it. If you want to be president, run. But you should have run, and it should be chosen from somebody that ran. He didn't say the top three. He didn't say the three that are left. You're wondering how Bobby Jindal has a path to victory? Here it is. Jindal, and all the other clowns. Well, he's not a clown. That's not fair. But all the other people that ran. A couple of them were clowns.
You have to commend Ryan, though, for standing up to the party and doing this, because he would be the logical choice. People would get behind him.
Right.
He would be a great nominee. He's a very intelligent person, and he's done a great job as Speaker. But he doesn't want to be that guy. He would be that guy that the Republicans would pick to say, you know, we don't want Trump or Cruz so bad that we're going to pick this guy. And he would be like kind of like the alternate, if you will.
Well, as recently as 1968, if I remember correctly, and I was seven, why wouldn't I? Hubert Humphrey didn't run in any primaries. You know, so It can happen. So,
but I do respect the fact that he did say it has to go through the process. He didn't run in the primary.
No, he didn't.
You know?
No. Who was a former governor in New York that ran? His family didn't even vote for him in any of the primaries. Pataki.
Doesn't quite have the same ring.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't. Melania Trump last night. She's beautiful. She's delightful. She speaks five languages. One of them is partial English. Mm-hmm. And last night she was talking about her husband, Donald Trump.
How would you like him to be different?
Just to use nice language.
Better language. Yeah.
Better language.
I know you
not
were,
all
you,
the time. Not
you were
all
upset
the time.
When
sometimes I agree with it.
Somebody yelled out something at one of his rallies.
Correct, and he repeated.
You were upset with that.
Yes, and I was thinking, just don't repeat it, because next day the press, all what they will talk, it's about the word, an appropriate word, and that was correct.
She also offered up a recipe for hotcakes. Yeah, so that was good. And Ralph and Malf were over at the house, and they were fixing the closet. This is just Green Acres material for those of you old enough to understand it. Ivanka and Eric Trump, why were they not registered to vote? Listen.
Well, I'm an independent, and I've always voted based on the candidate as opposed to based on the party. And it was actually a very interesting experience. So we're not a family of politicians. We haven't been in politics very long. New York has one of the most onerous rules in terms of registration, and it required us to register a long time ago, almost close to a year ago. And we didn't do that. We found out about it sort of after the fact. But it was actually why I started making a series of videos to educate people in each of the individual states, because every state is different. Most states you can register as late as the day of the actual.
When did you realize primary. You weren't going to be able to vote in the
around a week later?
Is that right?
Yeah. So,
Eric, how about for you?
Yeah, no, it was the same thing. I mean, we both fell into that same boat, and it was our first kind of foray into politics. We didn't realize how the whole system worked, and it was amazing. We actually made it a very big part of the campaign, and there's no one that's been more visible on the campaign than the two of us.
Stop talking.
There's something there that is so Donald Trump, because neither one of them apologized. Neither one of them said, look, we screwed up. We're embarrassed by this. We screwed up, and we want everyone that believes in our father to go out and vote. But it was a lot of excuse making.
Yeah, they kind of blamed it on the state.
Wonder where they
right?
learned that.
And to say, I'm not sure how the process works. It's registering to vote. It's not that hard.
And your father, learn that in school.
Your father's the number one news story for the past year. Everything about your day is daddy's running for president, and you still don't have your act together?
And honestly, now, I know she said that New York had onerous rules. It is so easy to register to vote. You could do it anywhere. Yeah, and most states.
And New York's rules can't be that much tougher.
No.
I grew up in New York. I don't remember them being that tough. Of course, I haven't voted there since, about 1982, maybe? Have they changed? Have they changed in the last 35 years?
States make it very easy, though, for you to register. Everybody listening should be registered to vote.
So that was nonsense. Let's do traffic, and then Trump will tell you why he can't be more presidential right now. Bill O'Reilly couldn't sound more racist. And wait till you hear Skilling and Mark Sapelsa, two of my pals. All right, a couple more things here. Donald Trump on being more, not less, more presidential as the family requested. Can you do it, Donnie?
Because a lot of people are saying, look, you've been talking about that for a while. Sure. Maybe he's not actually capable of changing.
Oh, I'm very capable of doing it. It's easy to do it. I mean, it's easier to do it than the way I behave right now. But
so why not?
I have two more people I have to take out. And when I take them Great. Out, I will be so presidential, you won't believe it. And then, of course, I'll start on Hillary, and then I'll be a little bit less presidential. But assuming I win, I will be very, very, the country will be very proud of me, and we will make America great again.
So who's the guy? Don't you get that sense when he says something like that? Who's the real guy? Is the real guy the guy that has to take out the two other people, or is the real guy the guy that's going to be more presidential? And if he's more presidential, because I believe the real guy is the other guy, if he's more presidential then why would you believe anything he says? Ah, forget it. I've said it 1,000 times. Bill O'Reilly talking to Donald Trump. This is actually two nights ago now. Here's a problem. Bill, you don't want to just throw things out like this because you sound like some racist crackpot.
With black youth, with African-American youth, you have a 59% unemployment. With people of prime age, it's much higher.
But how are you going to get jobs for them? Many of them are ill-educated and have tattoos on their foreheads. And you know, how are you going to, and I hate to be generalized about it, but it's true. If you look at all the educational statistics, how are you going to give jobs to people who aren't qualified for jobs?
We're going to bring jobs back. We're going to have Apple computers made in this country, not just. We're
but
going
you have
a
to
lot
have
of
skills to
right
make
now.
Apple computers.
Wouldn't Trump jump in there and go, Bill, what are you talking about?
Right. Not everybody has a tattoo on their forehead.
And what happens? Here, let me generalize. Who do you see with tattoos on their face outside of Mike Tyson? Crazy white guys. Crazy white guys being marched to prison. It's unbelievable. I need a palate cleanser. Last night on the WGN News at 5, after Tom Skilling gave a delightful forecast with 70-degree temperatures into the weekend, Mark Sapelsa and Skilling had a discussion about how happy it might make co-anchor Micah. Listen.
Thursday, sunny and warmer with a high of 69 inland, but low and mid-50s at the beaches. We'll go into the low 70s on Friday and maybe the mid-70s inland on Saturday and Sunday. And that's the first time since, you have to go back to October to get three consecutive 70s in a row. Isn't that nice?
I know he's going to get her free flag on for that.
I don't blame. Micah will join you in that.
Okay. Sounds good.
I don't think
you watched. All right.
Here's the thing. Sapels is my age, maybe a little younger, 6 months or so. My definition of freak flag is not something I bring up on the Channel 9 News at 5, but I couldn't find it more entertaining that Tom Skilling is going to join Micah and fly it as well. Tom is such a nice guy. He thinks a freak flag flying is like flying a kite in the park.
He probably does. He's so sweet.
So if you're wondering what's going on this weekend, Skilling's going to be flying his freak flag. 6:50, back with a word about my friends at Honor Flight. This is 720 WGN. There was something pretty cool that happened this morning that Bonnie Pear is here to tell us about. Bonnie Pear, board of directors for Honor Flight. Am I have your title right? This is a legendary Bonnie Pear, by the way. In case you're wondering, if this is some other substitute Bonnie Pear, this is the Bonnie Pear.
The one, the only, for whatever it's worth. Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you send off our vets this morning?
We did. I was out there at 4, and now I'm back in my home office, but they should be walking on the plane right about now. 104 of them this morning. Korean War veterans for the first time ever in the eight-year history.
How great is that?
Flight Chicago, along with some of our World War II guys. It was a beautiful morning. It really was.
And how was the crowd? Did you have some folks show up to shoot some video of these guys?
We did. We had some media out there this morning, and the fun thing for me listening to the veterans as I would speak to them, they'd be like, oh my goodness, I got out of my car and there were all these orange shirts. That's what our volunteers
right.
wear
right, right.
in the morning. It's like, do you have the entire city of Chicago out here? I mean,
That's
it's
nice.
It's such a great experience, and they're so well taken care of, as they darn well deserve to be.
Now, I don't want people to think that Honor Flight is suddenly moving on from World War II veterans.
Thank you.
Every World War II veteran is welcome. And this is still the primary goal here, is to find every veteran in Chicago, regardless of your health, because they have handled every manner of health concern in getting you to Washington to see the memorial built for you. But the reason Korea is being involved now as well is because these guys aren't getting any younger. These men and women, they deserve to see that the memorial for them as well. So it's a transition sort of thing.
You are absolutely right. And I'm so glad that you clarified that. World War II veterans are still an incredible priority, but as you say, all of these men and women have sacrificed for our country, and they all deserve to be honored. And the average age of a Korean War veteran today is around 85, as compared to 95 for a World War II vet. So they certainly qualify as our most senior war heroes, and we look forward to honoring all of them.
And time is of the essence here. So if you know a vet, if you love a vet, here's what's going to happen. You're going to sit down. It's usually a dad. Or granddad,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to sit down with him, and you're going to go, you know, Pops, I really think this is something you should do. I think, and he's going to go, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Look at me. I'm not doing that. I barely can get out of this chair. I don't want to be a pain to anybody. And by the way, that's how they get you. They get you out there, and then they start charging you. And next thing you know, you're broke. That's how they get you. So you got to break down those myths. First off, it doesn't cost these vets a dime. That's why Honor Flight raises money. Not a dime, right, Bonnie?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Not a cent. We won't even let them pay for an ice cream cone.
Right.
No. And I love what you said about the fact that Honor Flight Chicago is prepared to deal with anything these veterans can throw at us.
Right.
I mean, the wheelchairs, the medical staff that travels with us to be sure that individuals are taking their medication as they need to and that anything that could come up is handled. You know, the thing we hear most often is at this age, particularly the men, being concerned about being away from a bathroom for
right.
too long.
Exactly.
That's all factored in. I heard one of the vets say, oh, my goodness, it's as if they carry bathrooms around with them. Everywhere we stop, we know where the restrooms are, and you're never far away. There are restrooms on the buses. It's just such a well-oiled, well-organized machine.
Yeah, so you look at your mom or your dad and you go, look, were you self-conscious when you were saving the free world? I don't think so. So why be self-conscious now? These people are ready. They're able. And if you can go with it, Mary will back me up on this 1,000% because Mary got to do this. Mary Vandeveld.
3 years ago this month.
Right. And you know how emotional and how great it was. So, Mary, you know this, right? I mean, if you can go with your mom or your dad or whoever, it's one of the great experiences of your life.
Yeah, if you can be a guardian, that's wonderful too. Yeah. But even if you're not, you know, you can, you're a guardian to someone else and they really appreciate it. And there's so many people helping along the way. It's great. And just one thing with the applications, go and physically get the application for your father or whoever and give it to them, hand it to them to fill out because they, a lot of them don't go online. You know, they don't know how to do it and get it and physically hand it to them. That's the best way to do
it. Yeah, print it right off and take it over the house and offer to fill it out for
them. Exactly. Just have them sign it.
Yeah. And if they give you any lip, go, listen, I'll ground you.
Yeah.
Bonnie, honorflightchicago.org to help in all ways, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, we're now in this unique situation, having opened up the flights to Korean War veterans. We have a waiting list of 1,800 Korean War veterans who are chomping at the bit to fly with Honor Flight Chicago.
Great.
So for those who do support the cause and who would like to make a tax-deductible donation to be sure we can fly these men and women, as many of them as quickly as possible, that would be tremendously helpful and appreciated.
Yep, and more, by the way, more flights means more volunteers. So if you can do that as well, that's a big deal.
Absolutely, and what an experience. You will never forget any time you devote as a volunteer to Honor Flight Chicago.
Thanks for the work you do, Bonnie, and thanks to everybody at Honor Flight, and try not to fall asleep this afternoon at work.
I will not. What was that, yawn talk?
Yawn talk, yeah, you know, yawn talking.
And thank you so much for your support, Steve.
Of course, absolutely. We need a quick break here. Quick break, then the news, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Patrick Kane joins us now.
Key question you wanted to ask him.
We're
going to see the mullet?
You know what? I think I'm going to skip the mullet this year.
No! God, please, no! No! No!
That's big news. That's breaking news.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It's tremendous.
I want the mullet.
The first time I did it, I couldn't grow a beard, so now I can grow somewhat of a beard, so gonna skip it. Things are going good this year, so I don't really want to change too much up, to be honest with you.
Why did you say that? Why?
You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
No mullet?
You're gonna miss me by my hair.
Breaking news from yesterday's show, no mullet. Here's a trade I'll take. No mullet for, say, 3 goals in the opening round.
Did you hear what he said, though? If somehow the Blackhawks find themselves in a tough spot,
he'd grow it out.
He might reconsider.
Coming up later this hour, John McDonough, president of your Chicago Blackhawks, and Dave's story of the Go Cats good luck phrase and whether or not McDonough's going to need that again. At 7:12, we mentioned that Trump's family was on CNN last night. And it seemed like a right time to maybe dig a little deeper into the Trump campaign because we haven't heard that much about the people involved. So let me go to the phone. I'm sorry, I've lost your name here. Your name is what, sir?
Yes, good morning. Good evening. Good evening, Chicago.
It's good morning, but your name is?
Well, we're a little farther west than you. I'm in Iowa.
Yes, of course, that would explain it. But I still don't have your name.
Yes, they call me Ron McDonough. That's my name.
Ron McDonough.
I'm a member of the group, the No Waste Trumpsters.
And what is the role you play in this campaign?
We try to make sure that we support everything that the Donald does.
Okay.
We make sure that we everything he is focused on, that those are the agendas that we are pushing.
I understand you're having some sort of breakfast/lunch/dinner with other Trump supporters. So who else is there with you?
I've got Carol Linkley is also with me, and Reginald Washington.
Could I speak with Carol?
Yeah, let me put Carol on. Carol? Yes, hello! This is Carol Linkley.
This is Carol?
Yes, No Waste Trumpsters.
And Carol, what do you do for the Trump campaign?
Well, specifically, I talk about women's issues, how we can stop women from working. We should not be working. I am calling from home right now. I have an apron on.
Wait,
this is what I'm doing. This will create more jobs for men.
I thought you were with Ron McDonough.
Ron McDonough, we're on Skype.
All right. Mr. Washington is there?
Yes.
All right. Could I speak with him, please?
Sure. Hang on. Let me put... Yes, hello.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Who is this?
This is Washington.
Yeah, Reginald
Washington.
Reginald Washington. What do you do for the campaign?
I facilitate the No Waste Trumpsters.
What? Wait, what is this? I can't understand the name of the organization. What is it?
No Waste Trumpsters.
No Waste Trumpsters.
Yes. For instance, my specific forte is healthcare. We want to make healthcare cheaper, more affordable for everybody. So what we are doing is we're requiring all doctors, all nurses, anybody in the medical field to have a tip jar.
So in other words, if you go in and the testing goes well, or just in general, it's a good visit, you would leave a tip.
You just go in and you leave a tip. It's like Starbucks, but you leave a tip.
All right. So just to review, the first piece of evidence that we have is the women should stay home and take care of their men. That's one of the Trump things. And then this is a tip at the doctor's office. Is there anything else, Reginald, we should know or talk to anybody else about?
Yes, let me put Ron back on. Hang on, Ron.
All right, Ron.
Yes, hello.
Ron. Dave, have you noticed how much everybody in the Trump organization
sounds like Trump?
I didn't
want to
say anything,
but they really do sound very similar to him.
This is Ron McDonough again. All right, so Ron, what is your piece of this that you want us to share?
My piece of this, I have two things. One is the wall. We want to build a wall. The Donald wants to build a wall to Mexico. We all know about that.
Yeah.
It has to be paid by the Mexicans.
Yes.
Not only that, $24 billion goes to them from people that are illegally here. We want to open every piece of mail that leaves the United States and goes to Mexico.
So you want to be able to open all the mail, you want women to stay home and take care of their men, and you want a tip jar at doctor's offices.
Correct. Two, China trade.
All right.
50,000 jobs have gone to China.
Yeah.
We got to stop that. We are closing every Chinese restaurant in America.
That's really not the problem. Plus, it's outrageous to me. I like Chinese food.
I do, too.
All right. Well, listen, Ron, good luck. And you have a website for the organization?
Yes, we do. NoWasteTrumpsters.org.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
I have no idea. I'm going to look that up.
It's 717. I don't think you can Google that. I don't even think you could.
I think I'd be red flagged.
Just ahead of traffic, let's talk about your gutters. No coincidence, not related to the previous guest. If gutters are on your mind, it's because yours are probably clogged for the spring. It's a disgusting, nasty job to clean those gutters, not to mention it's dangerous. There's a product that's going to allow you to never have to do that again. It's called LeafGuard. LeafGuard is a covered gutter system that allows for you to get the water to flow into your gutters and leaves the debris and the leaves out. Best part is the LeafGuard gutter system is so good it comes with a lifetime no-clog warranty. And if by some miracle of clogation it ever does clog, they will actually come and clean those gutters for you. That's it. Special financing available for well-qualified buyers. Call today. 630-343-5066, 630-343-5066 for LeafGuard, or go to gutterschicago.com. Again, that's gutterschicago.com.
He treats everyone equally. So if you're a woman and they attack him, he will attack back.
It was that work ethic and that foundation that he implanted that allows us to probably do what it is that we do today.
I see him on TV without any sleep and making these speeches, and it just makes me want to continue to work harder.
New York has one of the most onerous rules in terms of registration, and it required us to register a long time ago, almost close to a year ago, and we didn't do that.
It was our first kind of foray into politics. We didn't realize how the whole system worked. We are
family. What are they, the Osmonds? How many Trumps are there? I actually watched it last night.
What'd you think, honestly?
I like Donald.
What?
I'm not kidding. As he sat there and sort of beamed at his family, I found him to be likable. And then I slapped myself in the face when I came out of it.
It was a very likable interview.
At 7:23, Mark Remillard, ABC News, joins us now. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning.
From a journalist standpoint, I know you need to report on what you need to report, but the family really appears to like him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why CNN's doing these, they're doing three of these kind of sit down with families. They did Kasich on 2 days ago, and then Trump last night. They're doing Ted Cruz today. And so, yeah, it's a different look that you get when you see these kind of sit downs with the family. And as you were mentioning, for Trump, this is probably a pretty good thing that he's got this very different look to him when he sits down with his family than what we see on the news all the time when he's up in front of the stage, or he's blasting people, you know, and attacking and this kind of ferocious candidate. So yeah, very different look to this this candidate when he sat down with his family.
The other thing is the entire family appears to be involved in the effort. Is that because he made them or because they choose to?
They sounded like they choose to. They sounded like they kind of when they were talking about when he first got into the race and he decided to do this, as you heard in some of those clips that he played, that you know that he's you know he's a bulldog, that he's going to go for it 100% if he chooses to do it. And then the family just kind of said, all right, well, we're in. So it sounded like they've been active out of their own, you know, their own desires and wishes. They talked about obviously missing that deadline to vote in New York, which is pretty significant. But instead now saying that they're using that as an opportunity to educate people about getting registered and making sure that that doesn't happen to other people. So they seem pretty active and pretty willing participants.
A lot of the coverage of this campaign is unique because this campaign is so ridiculously unique. Any idea if we'll see a Trump bump in the polls over this?
Well, he's doing pretty well in New York here, and he'll probably go on a pretty good stretch down the way here. I mean, you've got a lot of states that he's poised pretty well to do in. We're talking Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, a lot of these northeastern states that he's very familiar with, and he'll probably do well versus, you know, you have a rival candidate, but, you know, his closest competitor, Ted Cruz, being much more of a, you know, the Texas kind of candidate. So he can probably see a pretty good run coming up, and Ted Cruz even said that. He said Trump will have a good 2 weeks coming up here, but we'll be back in it. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, definitely a different look for his candidacy.
The the Trumpster has been relatively quiet, and he was certainly quiet last night. When does he get loud again?
I'm sorry, when does Trump get loud
yeah.
again? Well, we'll see. That's a good question. If anything, because he's been talking so much about the way the system is rigged against him with what happened in Colorado, that he got shut out on the delegates and all that. So if he wins New York, which he's poised to do, then, you know, maybe until the next issue comes up, we won't see him really fired up again. But if anything goes wrong in New York, you would expect him to really stand up if there's long poll lines or, you know, people are getting shut out from voting. Like we've seen in other states, and yeah, you could expect him to probably get pretty fired up.
One of the main contentions he continues to have, and he brought it up last night in his solo sit down before the family joined him, was the system's rigged against him. The RNC came out last night and goes, said, you know, okay, knock it off. The rules have been in place forever. Any idea if the family is buying into that beyond what they're saying? Because I have a picture that because his children seem, you know, educated. And that if they have a voice with him, they're backstage going, will you get off? Everything's unfair. But maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think there's been any indication that that's what they're saying. Will you tone down the rhetoric on that the RNC is against you or anything like that? There's been no indication from his family that that's what they're saying behind closed doors. You know, he's really feels that this has not been a fair system for him. And of course, you know, the RNC chair last night didn't mention Trump by name when he tweeted this, but he basically said, hey, the system's been set for more than a year. You know, give us a break. Ted Cruz is sitting there saying, you got outplayed. We were on the ground in Colorado, we were on the ground in Louisiana, and these are the reasons that we walked away with delegates step it up, I guess. You know, that would be their take. So the Trump campaign definitely feels like the system's been rigged, but that's also because he's been shut out on some delegates.
Yeah, and 1237 is 1237. You got to hit the number.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if it goes to the contested convention, that's going to be a very interesting turnout to see whether or not he can hold on to his lead.
Will you be in Cleveland?
We'll see. I think the travel plans aren't set yet, but we're going to have it's going to definitely be a very, very big event. And so we'll definitely have people there, whether or not it's me. We'll see. I'd like to.
We'll be in Cleveland. And if you show up, Mark, and you need a place to hide, we'll be there for you.
All right. That sounds good.
Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Mark Remillard, ABC News, on the Trump family picnic last night on CNN.
Is that what we're calling it? The Love Fest. Yeah. Oh, no, that was the city council.
You were mentioning that Ivana.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry,
Ivanka,
who had a baby 10 days ago or something, looks great.
She looks spectacular. Yeah. She literally just had the baby.
You think it was a surrogate? Maybe she just had a surrogate?
No, she just takes very good care of herself. She looks great, though.
You know, and again, it's the longest, we checked this, it's the longest Donald Trump has gone without saying something since he announced last summer as he sat there with his family. He only spoke when he was spoken to. It's 7:28. John McDonough from your Chicago Blackhawks is in St. Louis with the team and on the air with us in about 12 minutes on 720 WGN. Richard Marx Sr., right? Dick Marx, yeah? Yep. And John McDonough does the singing.
Here come the hawks, the mighty hawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks.
Well, it never gets old for us fans, and I can promise you it never gets old for the president of the Chicago Blackhawks, John McDonough. Congratulations on another great season and the beginning of the playoffs, my friend.
Thank you, Steve. We're excited. We arrived in St. Louis yesterday afternoon. The weather's beautiful down here, and we're ready to tee it up tonight.
Do you get, a similar butterflies at the start of the playoffs, or is it becoming old hat?
No, everybody has butterflies. Everybody's excited. You're a little bit nervous. Each series has its own personality, and, you know, in order to win a Stanley Cup, there's so many things that have to go your way. You know, there's bounces and caroms and posts and ghosts and crazy things that have to go your way. But no, everybody's excited really more than anything else. I think it's a long 82 game season. And, you know,
and if you win 64 more, you get another cup. This playoff run goes in the middle of summer. I don't know how you guys do it. It's going to kill me.
We'd settle for 16 more.
That's
but,
right.
You know, the big boys show up for the big game, so we're hoping that happens.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's nothing short of a miracle to win a Stanley Cup, and I'm not being goofy here, because the bounces that you just mentioned of hockey, combined with the length of the season, combined with the parity in the sport, combined with the roles of injuries and various other things, and mostly the mysterious salary cap and the math problems. The fact that you get 3 and 6 is amazing, and here you are going for another one. I mean, you got to have some pinch yourself moments over at the Madhouse.
Well, major credit to Stan Bowman and Al McIsaac and Joel Quenneville and their staff for what they've been able to do and really reinvent this franchise every single year, Steve, because you're absolutely right. That's what you have to do. You've got some tough decisions that in some ways can be labeled as wonderful dilemmas that you can't keep everybody. You know, all of a sudden, we never anticipated that a player like Artemi Panarin is going to, you know, land in at 1901 West Madison. Here we have this young star player and reaches these bonuses and, we want to keep him for a long time, but you just can't keep everybody, but you do the best you can. But so proud of the job that Stan has done, the vision that he has. We talk about all this time what we think next year's roster is going to look like, the year after that. We've got a number of players signed to long-term contracts, but somehow he and his staff are able to figure that out.
And John, good morning. You mentioned the bonuses, and it's one of those.
Well, you don't get one.
No. We're talking about Panarin.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's one of those good news, bad news things.
About my bonus, Steve.
Yeah. No, yes. I thought Dave was angling for you to give him a bonus.
Well, while we're on the subject, but I mean, it's good news, bad news, because here the guy has an unbelievable rookie season and achieves this bonus level. I got to think that even though it does affect your salary cap, it's like, well, we don't have to worry about it if he doesn't go out and have as great a season as he's had.
Well, I think it's all good news. I know what you're saying about the bad news because of, you know, what in the future is going to be. But we really needed him this year. It was so unusual. Where here you have a season that, you know, because he had such a big year and he was such a big contributor, here we have the season that we set an all-time franchise record for 12 consecutive wins. Then we lose 4 in a row at home, and it was up and down. And I don't think making the playoffs were ever in doubt, but you certainly needed every point that he gave us. So, you know, I'm confident Stan's going to figure it out, but you're right. The salary cap's interesting, and the bonuses are interesting, but it's worth it. And everybody, Dave, plays by the same rules.
As you know, it's been well documented, and after you've won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years, you get reminded this a lot, that no team has repeated since 1998. What's your take on that, John?
Don't bring that up.
No. It's okay. It's fair game.
No, you can bring that up. Absolutely.
I mean, everybody's
whose
got...
Whose show is it? Come on, man.
It's yours.
Okay. So, all right. John, forget I said it. Steve, back to you.
No, you want to know what his take
is. Well, what's your take on why it is so tough to do that?
I think of all of the major sports, Dave, it's the heavy, it's the toughest to repeat just because of the intensity level of the playoffs, the physicality, the grind that you just went through. And I think with the salary cap, as we just alluded to, the margin of difference in talent for every team is razor thin. It's razor thin. So when the salary cap was introduced about a decade or I think exactly what Gary Bettman had set out to do has happened. I think there's incredible balance in the league. That's what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so interesting and so compelling and so riveting. Yet at the same time, it's very tough to repeat. So even winning 3-6 has been pretty amazing. But we have high expectations here, and we hope it continues.
The sport, I do think it's the toughest trophy in sport, and it's also maybe the most fair in that you have more stories of teams that weren't even close to being the best team in the regular season who can get on a run or catch a couple of breaks and go through the playoffs. The Kings, few years ago, eighth seed, and they go on and win the Cup. Now I hate them more than I used to hate Vancouver. But I think the key to victory, John, and I know you're going to agree with this, is Dave Ennett. And the key to victory, as Dave Ennett, is, of course, when he says, go Cats. Where are we with this?
It's so funny. You're so insightful, Steve.
Yes, I really am.
I was going to bring this up. I didn't know when I'd be able to shoehorn this into our conversation this morning. But, Dave, we've got a little momentum going with this. So I hope you haven't forgotten about me through all of your Hall of Fame introductions and all of the great things that are going on in your professional life.
And how busy he is, and the paparazzi, and the women, and the liquor. I mean, he's got a lot.
Especially the liquor. That's always been an issue.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
See? It's confirmed.
All right, so here's, as I understand the story, gentlemen, he calls and says, go Cats, at some point prior to each game, and without that, maybe the rabbit's foot that Dave Ennett becomes isn't in play. Is that how you see it, John?
Dave might not see it that way. Dave, why don't you tell your version, because I've got mine. Go ahead.
Well, I think you were on the show with us just about this time last year, and at the end of the conversation you said, can we get a go Cats? And I did, right? Probably should have come from Fitz or somebody,
Did. Stop it with the fake modesty. All right. It's all you.
Okay. So then I believe, John, that it was during the Western Conference Final or during the Stanley Cup Final, I got a text message from you saying, and things weren't off to a great start. And I believe at that point you were down 2-1 to Tampa Bay, as I recall. You texted me and said, I think I need a go Cats tomorrow ahead of the next game. And so I called you. You picked up your phone. I said, go Cats. That was pretty much the extent of the conversation.
Did John hung up on you?
Won the game. The next game, it was the game in Tampa, game five. You were having lunch someplace. Your cell phone rings. You pick it up. You don't say a word. I said, go Cats. You hang it up. You win that game. And then, of course, June 15th, I call you in the afternoon. You're in your office. Go Cats. You win the Stanley Cup that night.
It's like some CIA coding going on.
It's like espionage.
It's like the bat phone.
But, I mean, it's weird that it's Cats and not Hawks or Blackhawks, right? I mean.
Well, no, it's not weird at all. It works. Don't question it. Just keep doing it.
Okay.
Steve's right, Dave. Just don't question it. It worked. We're going to do it again. Now, being on the show this morning doesn't necessarily count, so I need you to call me later.
Yeah.
I mean, this
counts. Yeah, okay.
I want you to call me later. And if I don't pick up, leave me a message. That'll count as well.
Oh, I don't know if that works.
No, it does work. It does work.
We didn't do that, though, last year.
Listen,
he always answered.
He's got three cups. Don't question him.
He takes my calls.
Sometimes if I see it's you or Steve, I don't answer.
Well, I know he doesn't pick up for me. But in this case, okay. I'm urging him to pick up for you.
Okay. All right. Will you remind me after the show?
Yeah. No, okay. Please. Like this is your number one job today. Right. I want you to drop all family and personal matters and certainly anything we'd ask you to do and make sure this happens.
Okay.
I'm telling you, John, if this helps get a win tonight with a game before Duncan Keith comes back, we need to build a statue to Dave Ennett outside the United Center. I will pay for it.
I thought those plans were already in motion. But hopefully we get off to a good start tonight. Dunk comes back on Friday night. And, you know, these 8:30 start times, Steve, these are late. I'm going to need a rollaway between periods. I'm generally in bed by 9:30.
Well, the reason is because John and I see each other at the new grandfather's meeting. And that's the thing. How's yours?
Oh, great, great, great. We had a chance the other night. My daughter-in-law and my son live in the Wrigleyville area, so I got a chance to take my daughter, walk her down Addison Street in the stroller and walk her by Wrigley Field. So it was kind of fun.
How cool is that?
How about you?
Fantastic. She is 16 weeks old and better than all the other grandkids, but yours is a close second. So it's we're both blessed. Listen, have fun tonight and as much fun as you ever allow yourself to have during the playoffs. And we'll be watching and listening on your Blackhawks radio station, 720 WGN. Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for
talk to you later, John.
Bye-bye.
See you later. And when he says talk to you later, he's not kidding.
You didn't say it.
No, I'm calling
him
late.
But he said he wants it now and later.
Well, he's still on hold.
Go Cats.
There you go. Oh, traffic from Mary. Wow. You may need to carry around the actual growl. We'll get to a Hawkopedia in a second. President Rafael Correa is the president of Ecuador. He'll join us in about a half an hour. The reason for this is my friend Peter Greenberg, the travel guru, does this series where he convinces world leaders to give up like a week of their time to tell him about their country.
Right. And he can follow them around and see kind of the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
Places, you know, tourists wouldn't normally be able to go.
Now, what I'm not clear on is why the president is in Chicago. Because
we'll
I assume Peter came here to meet the president, mm-hmm. not the president came here because Peter said he had to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
We think.
We'll find out.
We'll find out when the president's here. You know, he's an Illini alumni. President Correa.
He is? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to go tell him ILL.
Yeah. Did you know that, Mary?
I did not.
Yeah, President Rafael Correa.
Brothers
University of Illinois.
Our brother in orange and blue.
Okay. And I guess the link is they're screening the show here because he went to U of I.
Do you think he was in a frat? Should ask him.
We have to ask
him. He actually, now I'm going to ask him about this. He's a funny guy. You know, I did a little research because I have to. And in the midst of it, he's a big Twitter guy. And he's a funny guy. And he got in a bit of a dust-up with John Oliver HBO. Yeah. And it also involves Tico Tico, the beloved children's clown of Ecuador. You think I'm not doing my homework? Come on,
my
please.
God.
So we'll get to all of that coming up. Dave, we'll do your Wikipedia here in just a moment. But also, before we get to that, after 9 this morning, Judge Patricia DeMango. Is DeMango DeMango? You say DeMango. I say DeMango. From the Hot Bench Judge TV show.
Sing that to her when she comes in.
And
that'll
I believe,
be nice.
Am I right about this? Does Judge Judy produce that? Does she own that show too? Because she owns a couple of the judge shows now.
I don't know. You can ask Dean next Monday.
Wait a minute. I thought you were the new big shot producer of this show. Put your best research people on that for me, will you? All right, Dave, are you ready for the Hawkopedia?
Sure, Steve.
Roll it.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
The Hawkopedia, sponsored by the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks, and that would be Fresh Wave. Remember the Fresh Wave slogan? Woo-wee! What smells funky in here? That's not their slogan?
No, actually.
Oh, that is their slogan.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let's go live now to Mary. What do we have, Mary?
It is produced by Judge Judy.
It is produced by Judge Judy. You know, I'm not just another pretty face. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about.
Tico Tico.
I am.
Tico Tico. The Hawkopedia is produced by Judge Judy?
Yes, the Hawkopedia is produced by Judge Judy.
No, that's produced by Tico Tico.
Okay.
The stream of consciousness continues with the Hawkopedia. Today's topic is?
Playoff openers.
Okay.
Blackhawks are in the playoffs for the 8th straight year, so we wondered how have they fared in their playoff openers over that span. Last year, if you remember, Steve, they started the playoffs in Nashville, and if you remember also, the Predators jumped on the Hawks for 3 first-period goals, led 3-0 after 1, but the Blackhawks answered with 3 of their own in the second. Jonathan Toews tying the game just past the midway point of the second period. It stayed tied till the second overtime when Duncan Keith scored the game winner to give the Hawks a 4-3 win in a series they eventually won. In the first game of the playoffs in this championship era, the Hawks are 3-4. They have won the series opener in 9 of their last playoff series dating back to 2013. That's the series opener. And since 2013, the Hawks have won 11 of their last 12 playoff series, including the Stanley Cup Final in 2013 and 2015. The only series they've lost in that span, the Western Conference Final 2 years ago, where they dropped Game 7 to the LA Kings.
It's because the puck cheated.
The puck cheated, that's exactly right. In the back-to-back seasons, when the Hawks failed to get out of the first round in 2011 and 2012, they lost that first game. Tonight, Game 1, Hawks and Blues in St. Louis, where 2 years ago, the Blackhawks lost in triple overtime. Then they lost in overtime again in St. Louis. Then they won 4 straight, including 2 in overtime, and won the series in 6.
And again, the entire reason there is a plot from the Blackhawks to kill me before the playoffs is over.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
All right, that's Hockopedia.
On Chicago's very own 720.
It's 8 o'clock. We'll be back with your news in just a moment.
President Becky Benchauer continues, and it's the entertainment.
Normally
featuring Ian Richards, 720 for a couple days. This is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. I'm on the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10. This is number 8.
Hey, hey, hey. Cool in the game.
What you got to say?
Hollywood, swing it. Shake it.
Hollywood. Hollywood, swing it.
Wouldn't your granny play this?
You know, I used to ride the bus to my Hollywood, granny's house. I get off the bus, and if I go up to the front door, there'd be a note. If I could hear the Cool in the Gang,
I remember.
They'd say, if the joint's rocking, honey, don't come knocking.
Not too long ago.
8:13 now, and we go live to Andrea and for Dean. Give me a show business story.
Yeah, a couple of quick stories for you. Kate Hudson stepping out with her new beau. Did you know she was dating J.J. Watt?
Big dude.
Big dude.
You know, listen, who loves women more than me? Anyone? Anyone? Nobody.
I can't think of anyone.
But I never... Trump. I've never found Kate Hudson this smoking hot icon that she's made out to be.
See, I think women love Kate Hudson more than men because I just love her. She's kind of the girl that everyone wants to hang out with.
Okay.
I would think so. Right, Mayor? Don't you love? I
JJ
love
Watt
Kate Hudson.
I'm kind of indifferent towards her. Yeah. I think she's a little odd.
I like her.
She got that new line of athletic wear. She's killing it with
well,
that.
Well, that's really cute.
She's really cool. She's always on Instagram with her girls.
Some
she
of her health
out.
Tips are weird, though.
She's
pretty
cool.
Strange.
By the way, Kate Hudson.
JJ Watt's like 24. Isn't Kate Hudson like 45 or
she's
something?
She's 36. JJ Watt's 27.
Wait a minute. 36? Seriously?
She's 36, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. But actually, there's a fan page called JJ Watt Ladies, and they first broke, I guess, the first picture of them sitting there kind of canoodling at dinner.
They were canoodling? Was Sneed informed?
They were canoodling. All right. Kate Hudson and JJ Watt going public. There's a show, you know the show that they have, I can't think of the name of it, but the celebrities pose as, it's kind of like a hidden
undercover
camera
undercover celebrity?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of and they pose, well, LeBron James, probably one of the most famous faces in sports, but there are times when he's really unrecognizable. He went undercover as Ron, the newest employee at Blaze Pizza in Pasadena, who incidentally Patrick Schwarzenegger is a co-owner of this Blaze Pizza, this location. He worked there all day long. Guess how many people recognize LeBron James after working there all day long?
How many?
None.
Oh, come on.
Not one person.
Didn't his height kind of give it away?
6'8", 280 pounds.
Did he have a hat on?
On every other commercial.
Yeah, and he stands out. It's hilarious. All these guys, black, white, men, women, young, old, not one person recognized LeBron James. It was kind of funny.
I was sure he wasn't working at the new stupid customer's pizza.
Yeah. Well, then he tried to screw up some of the orders, you know, so people draw attention to himself. And he said, hey, it's my first day on the job. I'm learning. I'm shadowing. I'm a really tall shadow.
Lord.
They just took the pizza and they walked out.
And Ranker.com's new survey?
Ranker.com's new survey asking people to choose which celebrity would make the best president of the United States. Which celebrity would make the best president?
Give me top 5.
Top 5. Starting with number 5, Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
Will Smith.
Okay.
Bill Murray.
Well, obviously.
Coming in at number
3. Stable.
has a toll-free, this is a true story, Bill Murray has a toll-free number. If you want Bill Murray to work for you, to do a project with you, you have to call an 800 number. And it goes to a voicemail, and maybe he calls you back, maybe he doesn't.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true, yeah.
Wow, so Bill Murray,
no
number
agent,
three.
No publicist, call my 800 number.
Is he a friendly guy? I mean, is he approachable?
He's always been nice to me, but I mean, I think it depends on when you catch him. Yeah.
Hmm. Especially on the golf course.
He's a little goofy.
Number two, Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, you think Trump swears. Samuel L. Jackson is president.
And you're not going to believe...
Get these Republicans off my effing plane!
Snakes on a plane. And number one, any guesses who people chose which celebrity
Judge
would
Judy.
It's a woman. Any guesses,
not
anybody?
Oprah.
No.
I'm done. Who?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
Number one, according to Ranker.com.
That would be awesome.
Well, she know, would she be
could,
funny.
She could dance.
Keep you laughing.
She'd be great.
She'd be a practical joker. She'd be practical doing practical jokes during state dinners. At 8:17, one additional celebrity note. Our friend John DeCause has new YouTube videos up on his YouTube channel. What's the YouTube channel?
It is Today in DeCause.
And how many are up there now, the new ones?
I think the new one, it just went up yesterday. So that was Cable Guys yesterday.
Cable Guys, you sitting around waiting for a cable guy?
No, I am answering phones for people who need information about cable.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Is it like a Newhart thing where you get the one side of the conversation?
I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
Do you know a lot about cable? I'm just curious.
No, he doesn't know anything.
Oh, okay.
Got 10 or 11.
Today in DeCause.
10 or 11 others still to go up?
Yeah, we did 12 on on Sunday, cool. So we just keep popping them out there. And
the goal is to make you famous enough to leave the show.
Yes.
Through YouTube.
Yeah.
How do we subscribe?
You just go to YouTube and go to Today in DeCause, and that's what comes up.
We will announce another show we're doing. It's the Steve Cochran Late Night Talk Show that hits at 7 o'clock at night, because that's late to me. So late to me. It's coming to the Rosemont Zanies on May 15th.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. And we're going to piggyback that, because we also have Andrea, Hannah Stanley, and David Hochberg doing stand-up on the following Friday at the Rouse Center.
Wow.
Yes, that's going to
be great.
Shows.
It's all part of the Funny 2016 tour. But we have a tiny desk on a tiny stage with a one-man band.
Yes.
And John is my hilarious sidekick, and we do a talk show.
This is May 15th?
May 15th.
So it's a
Sunday.
Okay.
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Tickets available?
Tickets are available right now. Go to Rosemont, zaniesrosemont.com.
All right. More in a moment. Oh, the president of our regular Wednesday feature. The president of Ecuador will be here in just a moment. Rafael Correa. Stand by for that with our friend Peter Greenberg. Well, it seems appropriate to have. Where do you guys adjust the volume for President Correa here? It seems appropriate to have the Illini fight song greet you.
Yes.
Nice to see you, Mr. President. How are you?
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you, and it's a pleasure to see my friend Peter Greenberg. Now, Peter, you've got to do the background here.
I'm just going to be very quiet, let the president do all the talking.
Well, he can do the talking, but explain how you two get together and what the show is.
Well, I've been doing this for about 15 years. It's called The Royal Tour. We've talked about it before on the air. I go to individual heads of state somewhere around the world, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and I actually get them to give me 6 days of their schedule unencumbered. And then for the next 6 days, that king, prime minister, or in this case, President Correa, is my personal tour guide to the country for a one-hour television special that will be premiering tomorrow night right here on WTTW.
This is an idea that you had played around with for years. Are you amazed at the access you're being granted? I mean, look, Peter, you're a swell guy, Peter, but come on.
You know what? Presidents, prime ministers, and kings realize that travel is the largest industry in the world.
Sure.
It's one out of every 10 jobs. It's 10% of global GDP.
Right.
And especially in a country like Ecuador, tourism is a very big deal. And most Americans, you and I have talked about this on the show.
Sure.
Only 37% of Americans even have a passport.
Right.
So... And most of them don't even know where Ecuador is. So my job is to be the tag along, as I am today. I'm tagging along.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity.
It is. To see the country through the eyes of its leader.
Right. And who loves Ecuador more than you, sir?
A lot of people love a lot our country.
Yeah. So you grew up with modest means. You end up how at the University of Illinois? You were at the University of Illinois.
Yes, sir. I studied there.
What did you study?
Economics. A master's degree and a PhD in economics.
All right. So if anybody has any questions about your economic policies, they can blame the Illini.
Come on.
We were talking about tourism just a second ago, as you know. Are you?
This is another very important economic policy.
Well, it's very important. Yeah.
To promote tourism.
All right. So let's promote tourism. Yes. When I come to Ecuador, what do you want me to see first?
Oh, you come and see a lot of things. For instance, Quito. We have a new airport with new roads, outstanding roads, outstanding airport. And Quito was the first World Cultural Heritage declared by UNESCO. Quito itself.
Sure.
It's a wonder.
Right. And what is a historical site you're going to direct me to?
For instance, to the old downtown.
Oh, the old downtown.
The largest and best preserved historical district in the whole region.
And as a lifetime a native, what is your favorite thing in all of Ecuador? And you can't say the house you grew up in.
So, well, I like to visit my born city, Guayaquil, you know.
Okay.
But you can go, for instance, in Quito to the middle of the world. Latitude zero, the equator, you know?
Are you a married guy? Yes.
Okay, but
yes.
You want to get married or a relative.
You want me to marry someone else? What are you suggesting, Mr. President?
No, because we have a little chapel there with an altar exactly on the equator.
Is that right?
Yes. So your fiancé can be in the southern hemisphere and right. You in the northern hemisphere.
So if she changes her mind, she can spin in the opposite direction as she walks into the sunset. When was the last time you were in Chicago?
I was
15 years
saying
ago.
This to yeah. Peter, perhaps 15 years ago.
Well, listen, I believe the world needs to get along better. I want great relationships with your country. So what is your opinion of how we're doing things? Do we have good relations with your country at this point?
Yes. America is our most important commercial partner.
Right.
But we can always, it's possible to improve our bilateral relation.
So, Peter, from a transportation and a tourism standpoint, what do Americans need to know?
Well, the president talks about Quito, but it's a whole lot more than Quito. Mm-hmm. You got four different regions there. You could be in the mountains, you could be the beach, you can be basically on the Amazon in a rainforest within 3 hours or 4 hours of Quito, and then you fly an hour and a half out of, off the coast. And the one place that Americans think they know, the Galapagos Islands, you know, Charles Darwin lives.
Yeah, that's where the turtles are.
Giants. Giants. You've never seen turtles this big or move this slow.
Right. And easy. And
well, you know what the president says?
He says, bureaucrats.
Yeah, we were out there looking at the turtle one night and said, how fast does this thing go? He says, well, he's really moving. He's going 2 miles an hour. And the president goes, yeah, bureaucrats.
See, this is what I told Andrea this a little while ago. President Correa is very funny. He has a very, very active Twitter account. You should follow him.
Steve, you need to be bilingual. I have to say, seriously. We go out to the Napo River, which is the main tributary to the Amazon. The water is filled with piranha. Mm-hmm. Okay, he throws me in.
Would you think he was a political rival? What?
Ecuador is the most compact, biodiverse country in the world.
Right.
We have the biggest quantity of animal species. And in a tiny territory, smaller than the state of Nevada, for instance. And you can have breakfast in the beach with fresh seafood.
Oh, fresh seafood, yeah.
You can drive 4 hours and to have lunch in the highlands, very beautiful highlands, snow-capped mountains on the equator, the only place in the world where you can find snow on the equator. And for driving 4 more hours, you can have dinner in the jungle in the Amazon region. Just you can do only in Ecuador.
And then he can throw you in the water with the piranha.
Right, for a good time. I have always wanted to visit your country. You make it sound wonderful, and I'm sure it is, so now I have to put it on the agenda.
You're more than welcome.
You mentioned the rainforest. The Pope's visit recently, he addressed the rainforest directly. What did you think of the Pope's comments?
The Pope?
When the Pope visited your country, he talked about conservation and the rainforest.
Of course. We are leader at world level in conservation. You know, our constitution is the first constitution in human history giving rights to nature, to the nature.
Your English is very good. Come on. No, it really is. Did you study?
I have to improve my English.
Well, you're in Chicago. You'll pick it up.
May I say hello to my fellow citizens here in Chicago?
Of course.
But in Spanish, because we have a huge Ecuadorian community
please, sir. It's an honor.
Living here. A todos los ecuatorianos aquí en Chicago, un inmenso abrazo. Nos vemos hoy día noche, por fin, como presidente, puedo encontrarme con ellos. Y en general, un inmenso abrazo a todos los hermanos de la patria grande, a la comunidad latinoamericana, viviendo en esta gran ciudad.
2 years of Spanish, I understood every word.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He actually said a lot of nice things about those who live here, and then he said, I'm surprised how bald Steve is. I did not see that part coming. You are the big story. We'll do that right after this break on 720 WGN. All right, let's get to the big story. Andre Darles is here. We have President Rafael Correa from Ecuador here. My friend Peter Greenberg, the travel guru, petergreenberg.com. He came up with a website all by himself. And Andre, take it away.
Well, we are very excited to have you in studio, President Correa. You are our big story, and I know a lot of people planning to travel to Ecuador. Beautiful country, beautiful place, as we alluded to, the rainforest. There's so much to see. Talk about the misperception of safety, that it might not be safe to travel there.
One of the most safest countries in the region.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then what should Americans know when traveling to Ecuador? What would you want them to know?
Well, Ecuador has, as I mentioned before, four walls. The coast, well, you can find their beaches as beautiful as Caribbean ones. The highlands, you can find their mountains as beautiful as Chilean mountains. But, in fact, the only place where you can find snow-capped mountains on the equator and the highest mountain in the world, if you take into account, if you measure it from the center of the earth. Its name is Chimborazo. And you can find rainforests as in Brazil, in Colombia, in Bolivia. But just in Ecuador, you can find all the things together. And you can visit these three regions in one day. And the next day, our amazed tourists can fly 1.5 hour long in order to visit Galapagos Island, unique in the world, and World Natural Heritage declared by UNESCO.
Speaking of safety and security, you know, the Galapagos, you can't have tourism unless you're being responsible about it. And since 1986, they have really done their homework in the Galapagos, Ecuadorian government, in terms of not only preserving but protecting that region. They just extended an exclusion zone so that if you want to go there and dive, great, you can't take anything with you. You want to go fishing, you can't go fishing there. You go there, you observe, and the animals are, as I experienced with the president, we went diving with sharks, no cages. and they are so used to humans that they basically leave you alone. At least they left me alone.
Well, you were more worried about the piranha.
You know, Galapagos Marine Reserve is the biggest in the world, and around the Wolf and Darwin Islands, we declared marine sanctuary. That means you can touch that. And even the visitors are controlled, limited.
Listen, I speak your form of English. I understood sanctuary. Yeah, you're doing just fine, Mr. President. You really are. The gentleman sitting to your right and my left is a legend here. He is the number one agricultural and business reporter in America, Orion Samuelson. So when we come back, I wanted him to talk to you a little bit about ag in your country.
Okay.
We're continuing to be the United Nations of American talk this morning.
And the chocolate and coffee, too.
And by the end of the show.
Chocolate from Ecuador, huh?
Yeah.
And coffee from Ecuador.
Yeah. Mr. President, by 9 o'clock, I intend to increase tourism in Ecuador by 10,000%. So
Thank
it's a modest
goal.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
841. President Rafael Correa from Ecuador and Peter Greenberg, his wingman. Here, and before I introduce you to Orion Samuelson, Peter, again, explain to folks the show and the specific reason you're here in Chicago.
Well, the name of the show is The Royal Tour. We've been doing it for about 15 years. Individual heads of state take me on an amazing up-close and personal tour of their country, just the two of us. Imagine two guys on a road trip. That's what we did.
It's a buddy picture.
It is, with a happy ending. And basically, I get to see a country. I've been going to Ecuador for over 30 years. I have never seen the country the way I saw it with the president, obviously, because we had access to things, but not just things that other people couldn't do. Everything you see on the show is everything anybody can do.
And what was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise for me, I have to tell you, was the rainforest, because when we climbed up together, this unbelievable 150-foot erected steel bridge at 4:30 in the morning to watch the sun come over the canopy, it's not just what you're watching, it's what you're hearing, the sounds of the jungle. And then he threw me in the water.
It's got to be incredibly spiritual.
Well, it is. You know what? We were standing there, and the president said to me, this is where I come to get away from it all, because it's the only time you can actually hear yourself think and spend the time to do it. And anybody can come do that. It's just amazing.
The two people on the show that have traveled more than any other are you, Andrea, and Orion Samuelson, who joins us now. Orion, have you been to Ecuador?
I have not been to Ecuador. I've been to South America, but not Ecuador.
Well, here's your opportunity.
You should come to visit us, you know.
Yes. I should, because I've been to Brazil and Argentina, because they are major competitors in the agricultural community. But my question to you is, with everybody needing food, who is your biggest trading partner in agriculture?
The United States, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what do you want to sell to us, and what do you buy from us?
We have a very good production of bananas, the best.
I love
roses,
a banana.
The Ecuadorian roses are the best. You buy a lot of.
Well, if I'm going to get married at that chapel you talked about, I'm going to need roses.
Shrimp, cocoa, coffee.
You know, we got the honeymoon
cocoa
figured
the best in the world, too, you know?
Where do you grow your coffee, on the mountainsides or on the low levels?
No, the coast, but in the rainforest, you know?
Yes, in the rainforest, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you can find a coffee in the Amazon region.
Is it difficult to harvest coffee from the rainforest?
Not so difficult, no. It seemed that, before our ancestors were cultivating coffee there. Yeah.
Okay.
Do they harvest by hand?
Yes, sir.
So they have to pick the cocoa bean.
It demands a lot of jobs.
Okay. Yes. And what would you like to sell more to us than you're selling now? What are you working on?
We're trying to diversify our economy. For instance, not to sell something physical, but services, tourism.
Okay.
Okay? We have a huge potential, tourist potential, so we are inviting you to visit us. An outstanding country.
And I know our Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, was in Chile and Peru recently. But
what happened with Ecuador?
I don't know. I will
He needs to talk to him, right?
When I see him. But how are trade relations between your country and our country? Do we get along pretty well?
Yes. The American market is the most important market for us.
Okay. Yes. And what do you want to buy from us?
Well, we buy a lot of things, for instance, cars, etc., but usually industrialized goods, not primary goods.
Okay? And agriculturally?
Perhaps, yes. I don't know the name in English. Soja.
Soy.
Soybeans. Illinois. We got lots of soy for you.
Midwest,
yes.
You know?
And thank you, because Brazil really is a major soybean producer, so thank you for coming to us.
You know, we buy soya from Argentina too, from Brazil, something, but also from United States.
I got a guy who's going to get you a price on soybeans. It's unbelievable. It's going to be so good for the both of us. Orion Samuelson, it is great to, how about that? The president and our fearless leader right here together.
That's right.
You are very hardworking people. Congratulations. It's incredible.
Thank you.
We'll take one more quick break.
Farmers.
Yes.
We'll take one more quick break, and then I ask you about somebody that came up in the news. Tico. Tico, the beloved children's clown of Ecuador, who I knew nothing about until very recently, because as you know, this is the home of Bozo. Bozo
the clown, yeah.
Bozo the American clown.
On.
It's another similarity. It's a similarity between our countries, not so far apart. 8:45, quick traffic first from Mary.
And we still have train stop Metro Burlington line inbound and outbound stopped at Downers Grove due to an accident involving a pedestrian. Also outbound Ryan at 63rd, left lane blocked with an accident. Inbound Ikes up to an hour 15 from 53, hour 10 out. 52 inbound Kennedy, 42 on the inbound Stevenson. Traffic sponsored by Jewel. Shop Jewel Save on USDA Choice boneless beef bottom round roast, $3.49 a pound. And a dozen large Lucerne eggs are just 88 cents, limit 4. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The big story, by the way, I don't think I mentioned it, sponsored by Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic and the Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. You got bags under your eyes, you got puffiness under your eyes, you don't have to use Genucel. You put Genucel under your eyes, you're going to look great. Like a president of Ecuador is a good-looking dude. Right? Am I right or am I right?
You are right about that.
Right. Is that a correct protocol? Good looking dude, Peter. Does that qualify?
You're over the line already.
Oh, I am. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know if he uses Genucel or not, but it would be another gift from our country to his, just to pass it along. Genucel, bringing nations together since I don't know when, and making you look better and feel better about your face. So put a little on in the morning and a little bit on at night, and in the first 12 hours, you're going to feel the effects of your money back. Get big savings. Genucel's risk-free introductory offer is double your order absolutely free now at 800-933-5196. It's 800-933-5196. It's Genucel. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know Bozo. Do you know Tico Tico? When we come back at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
The president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, and I must compliment you on your support staff and your team. Very professional and,
thank you very much.
Wonderful people. And how long do you want to do this? How long do you want to be in public life?
No, I will finish my term next year.
Right.
May.
But then
17.
But then 20,
yes.
But as I understand the Constitution, you'd have an opportunity later on. Do you think you'd want to do it again?
No, I seem to be retired. You know, I am very tired.
Because of this interview?
No, because a lot of things. You know, I'm going to have 10 years as president.
That's a long time.
Yes.
It's a long time.
Steve, I have to give you a little history here. Before President Correa was president,
yes,
Ecuador, depending on how you count,
yes,
had a 10-year period in which they had, some people tell you 7 presidents, some people tell you 11. None of them finished their terms. It was like a revolving door. He's the longest-serving president in recent history for anybody in that
we
country.
We used to have a lot of political instability. Now I can give to my successor a very stable country.
You know what's going on in this country with the presidential race. Have you ever met Donald Trump?
No, never.
Okay. I know you've at least followed it from afar. Any thoughts?
Well, best luck for American people.
Now, but this is interesting to me because I am well documented to not be a Trump fan. But you are a very public person. You're very active in social media. What do the people of Ecuador think of your public persona? Do they see you as a guy they love as an entertainer, or keep them entertained as well as a politician?
No, come on. Thank God.
You say come on a lot. These are all legitimate questions.
Thank God we have a lot of popular support, you know.
Right.
Our government is very popular, but not because the president, because our public policies, social policies, economic policies. For instance, we have reduced inequality a lot. Ecuador was one of the most unequal countries in the region. And also we have reduced poverty.
Right. And poverty, of course, is a huge problem here as well. Is there any particular program you are...
But there, poverty is because inequality. We have enough resources to have,
right,
to eliminate poverty. But the difference between rich people and poor people are terrible.
I promise you, it's a very big issue or a very big issue that's being talked about here as well.
But there is a difference. You're a rich country. We're a middle class, if you want, country. So when you have this huge bad income distribution and you are middle rent country, that means you have very rich people and very poor people.
Well, when you leave the office of president, is that one of the things you'll feel best about, the ability you've given people who are poor
of
to
course,
do better?
I think our most important duty and moral imperative is to eliminate poverty.
Listen to the English, moral imperative. You dropped that.
University of Illinois.
Yeah, but you know what he said when you asked him about singing? He said, I think it's an abusive power.
That's exactly right. We were talking about it off the air.
When I take a mic to sing, it's an abuse of power.
But he plays a mean guitar.
Tell me about your family. Children?
Yes, 3 kids.
And how old are they?
Kids.
How old are they?
Well, the oldest one is a girl, 22.
Uh-huh.
The second one, 19, and the last one, 13.
Any interest in politics from the older children?
Perhaps, because my two older daughters are studying in France. And the oldest one, biology and scientific field. And the second one, yes, journalist. But towards the political field.
Yeah. I thought we'd leave the most important question for last. Tico Tico.
a good friend of mine.
Bozo the Clown.
An icon in Ecuador.
This is the Tribune Tower. This is an epic piece of architecture in Chicago, if not in the entire country, in the world. Bozo the Clown is a clown that was invented for children that has been around since 50...
Oh, yes.
56.
Yeah. And Bozo is still beloved after all these years. Tico Tico was around when you were a child, or was it after?
Yes, of course. Okay. We grew up with Tico Tico's song.
Yes. I got to say, I don't know Bozo's relatives. But Tico Tico surprised you at your birthday party.
Yes, 2 years ago.
Yes. Is Tico Tico someone you can call on if you need the country to feel better?
Yes, well, why not? Because our generation is very identified with this person.
So children still love Tico Tico today?
Still, but, well, he has perhaps 40 years of career, you know.
How about that? Does he do pretty well? Does Tico Tico do well?
An incredible clone.
Yeah, but he's doing okay? Tico
yes,
Tico?
Of
yeah. Got a nice house? Got a nice
come
Tico Tico?
I don't know his house, but...
I got more commands out of the president than...
Being very funny.
Well, listen, it is a pleasure to see you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
The best thing for our country
really,
is...
I am very happy for coming back to Chicago.
I bet.
I love this city. It's a very beautiful city. And this is a very beautiful building.
You mentioned before about the fraternity thing at University of Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Mary was asking, yeah, were you in a fraternity at the University of Illinois?
Excuse me?
A fraternity at the University of Illinois.
I don't think he was.
No.
Okay. No.
Fraternity, a group of students dedicated to having a good time on a Friday night.
Oh, no.
Fraternity. Yes.
There was no time, you know. I studied with two little kids.
You're
very
in a
difficult.
Family.
Oh, very hard. Yeah. And you know, my mentor, my professor, a dear friend, passed away 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm
Professor
sorry to hear
Bernard
that. Bayer. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to
that
have you back.
That guy changed my life because thanks to him, I was able to come to study in Illinois.
Well, listen, it's an honor to have you back. You're welcome in Chicago anytime. And I salute you, my friend, Peter Greenberg, doing his best to bring the world a little closer
and
through
the
show.
And the Royal Tour of Ecuador. This Thursday night on WTTW.
Come, everybody, to visit us.
Oh, we're going to
do it. You will be impressed.
Nice to see you. A quick photo before you leave, and then we'll take care of some business, and you'll be on your way. What's the rest of your day now? Are you?
We're all over the place today. Plus, we're going to screen it tonight with the guys at WTTW. They're going to see it for the first time.
But there's a chance people may see you and the president around town today.
They will definitely see us around town today.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, Steve, Andrea, Dave, all you need is Ecuador.
All you need is Ecuador.
See, you got branding now. You got the brand message.
Look at you. Didn't
it's
miss
our
it.
Slogan.
It's
we advertised
very nice.
Ecuador in the Super Bowl last year.
Very nice.
Yes, with
very
this
nice.
Slogan.
Yeah,
all you
nice.
Need is Ecuador.
All we'll say it together. All you need is Ecuador. Nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you.
Safe travels, and thank you, Peter.
The oldest, youngest man works on the radio. But this is all you need to know. He will always eat bacon and fries, and he'll only supersize everything he gets from Mickey D's. He does all the sound cues right, and in between he will take a bite of anything that lies within his reach.
Can you tell who's coming on?
I'd like to introduce to you, he's disappointed.
That's a classic.
It is.
That's old school DeCoss.
This one fact I heard.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Fear the bird.
Kevin Powell joins us now. It's very difficult to book Kevin at this point because of his affiliation with the Rokan Show and his demanding schedule of watching baseball and eating. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Just cleaning up a bit. The Ecuadorian president's swinging by this morning for breakfast, so I'm just preparing for that. He's bringing bananas, so I'm excited for that. Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that Ecuador was known for bananas.
I didn't either. Coffee and chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, nice to talk to you. Is that all you have for us?
That'll be it. Good talking to you guys. Kevin Powell, live from Mount Prospect, WGN.
All right, so how is it going on a Rokan show? And we're not on the air, so you can tell the truth of what you really think of Ro.
It's going well. Having fun the past couple of weeks. Anna's great, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Former Steve Cochran show member.
Yeah.
It's great. And you know what? Every once in a while we do get the free food drop off. Yesterday we had a great drop off, so it's not entirely different from the mornings, but I miss you guys, of course.
Well, we miss you as well. But one of the things Kevin did on the show was arrange free food for the show constantly. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, has Ro asked you to perform that duty for his show?
Not yet. Fortunately, his producer, Jeff, has embraced those duties as well. So yesterday we had had some sliders and some shrimp. It was a nice spread.
Now, tonight, game one, Hawks in St. Louis, and you're really the baseball guy, but you got a prediction for the series?
Hawks in six.
Yeah, same here. I got Hawks in six. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same here?
Hawks in six. Mary, prediction on the Hawks series?
Oh, that one for sure. Oh, yeah.
I'm going Hawks in five just to be
I'm
different.
I'm going seven.
John DeCosta, you have the Rangers in four?
I have the Rangers in four, Hawks in two.
All right, so let's talk baseball if we can. How about those Chicago White Sox, your beloved White Sox? Not a bad start at all.
No, a really strong start. I think, to be realistic, going forward, they'll probably, to be legitimate contenders, have to add another bat. You know, they've had some timely hitting late in games and things like that. But if you look at the numbers individually for everyone up and down the lineup, they're actually not that great. They just have had some timely hitting, and the pitching has been strong, and their bullpen has been nearly lights out. So I think moving forward, I think they'll be right there. But if they want to get serious and contend for an actual championship, they'll probably have to add another piece or two. And you got to be a little bit worried about the back end of your rotation with Matt Latos and John Danks.
You share that concern, Dave?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wouldn't get too hung up on the averages this time of year because they tend to fluctuate. The low number of at-bats tends to move those numbers around. And, yeah, they have been able to get key hits when they've needed them. Nice to see a little more consistency from some of their big guns. But I think so far so good. It doesn't hurt to be playing Minnesota in this three-game series either because the Twins haven't won a game yet.
Yeah, and when they played the Indians, they were able to avoid Kluber, their ace pitcher. So, right. But so far, so good. I mean, again, that timely hitting, two-out hitting, which last year it seemed like any time they needed a big hit late in the game or they had runners on with two outs, it seems like they came up empty. So that's been different this first week, which is good to see for them.
Kev, I just mentioned at 9 o'clock the Cubs had a media tour of their new clubhouse yesterday, and you were able to get a first-hand look at the new facility beneath the outside of Wrigley Field. And what'd you think?
It's pretty incredible. They said it was the most expensive clubhouse in all of baseball. They wouldn't give us a number, but it really shows. The locker room has a club vibe to it, like a nightclub vibe to it. They have all sorts of state-of-the-art lighting throughout the trimmings and along their lockers, and the lights sort of change throughout the day. And
hold on a second. Are they there to play baseball, or are they there to pick up women?
Don't they have a party room, Kevin?
Both, I think.
Don't they have, like, a party room where there's a disco ball and some lights, too?
Well, he was just talking,
seriously.
A party room other than the light-changing mood
like
room
a,
they're
a,
in?
A dance area.
Yeah, actually, I just booked the room. Kevin and I are doing stand-up there.
That's excellent.
3 weeks from Thursday.
First road trip?
First road trip.
Well, it's pretty. So they have this players' lounge, which is, I counted 10 TVs. There's an air hockey table, a ping pong table, shuffleboard, a couple of those arcade basketball games. There's Lazy Boys, and then there's sort of a kitchen area attached to that where they have personal chefs. And Theo was raving about the food. It's right up your alley, Dave. It's all organic and healthy stuff. And he says the players absolutely love the chef's cooking, that they're actually eating there and then asking the chef to cook them meals to bring home.
Oh,
to
stop
eat
it.
Dinner or whatever.
Stop it. Yeah. They're going to be sick and under 500 by the All-Star break.
Why do you say that?
I have been in Major League clubhouses for 30 years.
And what do they eat?
Fried chicken,
right.
Pizza, and beer.
Right.
So at the end of the tour, and by the way, it's incredible. The strength area is one of the biggest in all of baseball. The players basically had all the input in the equipment that was put in there, the design of it, the trainer's room.
Spending a lot of money. Let me tell you something. Two words, better win.
Well, but here's the possible result of that is that free agents look at this and say, well, this is a team that wants to win. They put all this money into the facility. The ballpark's being fixed up. Players like this stuff, Steve. I mean, it resonates.
Here's why a player comes to Chicago. How much am I getting? Mm-hmm. And is there a chance to win? Mm-hmm.
Well, and Theo joked about that he said the players were coming up to him saying they're going to have to turn down free agents because everyone's going to want to come and play there because of the clubhouse.
Where's the video game room? Is that in there too?
Yeah, that was part of that players' lounge I was describing. So it's all these arcade games and
I did it again, didn't I? I haven't done it in 3 years. I've done two in 1 week. Two in 1 week.
Where's,
we talked about
where's
video
Q?
Games?
Let's call Q.
See if Q knows about Corey Crawford and video games.
Kevin, what's that party room like?
Wow.
Yes.
All right, moving on. What do you think of this Cubs? What do you think of this Cubs team actually on the field?
So good.
Well, real quick, at the end of the tour, they bring us into this. Oh, it's the old players' lounge, which is attached to the old clubhouse,
yeah,
which is now a temporary batting cage. And all of a sudden, this is the celebration room. So all of a sudden, they turn the lights on us. A fog machine turns on. Strobe lights start going, and DJ music starts blasting. This is where the players go after a victory, after a big win, and they celebrate, and they wanted them out of the nice clubhouse and in the old players' lounge, which is basically just this old dungeon-like room.
This is why we can't have – you know what that is? This is why we can't have nice things room. They put you in a room where you can spray the champagne and do whatever damage you want. When the disco music started, did Paul Sullivan shake his moneymaker?
I didn't see Paul there, but okay. I would imagine the first time he saw it, he was, yes.
Yeah, and my only question is, how does Cap make the whole tour about him?
No shave his head in the middle of the clubhouse.
All right, so.
Yeah, they do have a barber there, by the way.
Of course they do. On the field, a great start. There's no question it's a great start. How do they keep it going, aside from the fact that nobody can get hurt?
Yeah, obviously that Schwarber injury doesn't help. Long term, I think Jorge Soler, who I thought could be a potential trading piece at the deadline, a potential one if they needed to add a pitcher or something else to this team, he's probably going to be in for the long haul considering you don't have Schwarber platooning out in left field. Soler has struggled a bit at the plate, but as Dave mentioned, it is early. They need to just keep doing what they're doing. I mean, really. I mean, Joe Maddon's having a blast rotating this lineup. You've seen Ben Zobrist in three different slots in the lineup. And Anthony Rizzo, who was getting all sorts of MVP buzz before the season, is off to a great start, the clear leader of that team. So they've pretty much done everything we had talked about and expected from them before the season started.
This afternoon, he is back. They'll talk a lot of hockey, obviously, but Kevin will get all the sports covered for you this afternoon. You have one final question?
One final question. You asked him about working with Roe. I wanted to ask him how he feels about his new management structure and his new boss and
oh, right, the way. Right. You feel that your boss is fair?
Yes, all my bosses are fair and wonderful. I love them all.
And who is your favorite?
Jimmy DeCastro.
No, oh, okay. Safe answer.
That's a safe answer. By the way, would be second?
Yeah.
It would be Todd Manley.
Oh.
It would be third?
Probably you, since you gave him
his No, it's Dave Bennett.
Talking old bosses?
Dave Bennett.
New bosses? Sports director, so Dave Bennett. Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's a fair order.
By the
order.
Way, the third, yeah. Very funny exchange between Kevin Powell and Dave Bennett in the hallway. Day before yesterday, Kevin said, hey, I'm going to do a blog, like a photo gallery of the new clubhouse. And Dave said, well, don't you have to ask me to do that first, go through the proper chain of command. I'm your boss. So Kevin said, Dave, can I go ahead and do a blog? Yeah, go ahead and do a blog, Kev. You needed that stamp of approval, didn't you, Dave?
That's the official request form. Dave, can I do this? Sure, go ahead.
It's Kevin Powell, afternoons with Ro Khan, and yet we still love him. It's 9:21. All right, buddy, see you.
And it's, way to get FaceTime, too, Kevin, in a lot of these locker room photos.
Yeah, it's great to see photos of Kevin in the middle of the scrum in the locker room. Hey, could you blow me off and not answer my question as well? It's 9:21. Two words, Cubbies. Better win. Back after this on 720 WGN. She spent years as a distinguished judge, appointed by Rudy Giuliani. Fought crime, threw bad guys in jail, and she said, this isn't dangerous enough for me. She said, I want to get involved in show business. Patricia DeBango's here, and Hot Bench is on CBS 2 in Chicago at 2 and 2:30 every day. You're a very bright, very accomplished woman. Why in God's name did you agree to this?
It was just another opportunity for me to see just how daring I've been.
Here's the thing. Now, if I'm right about this, Judge Judy produces the show, right?
Judge Judy, yes. This is her creation.
Yeah, okay. She doesn't appear to be easy to work for. Now, did you know her prior to this coming together? In other words, did you know her as a fellow judge?
I had never met her, nor had I spoken to her. In fact, when I first got on the bench in, I think it was 1995, she was just leaving the bench.
Oh, is that right?
To go and do the show. And so our paths never crossed in that professional
level. Massively successful. Incredibly successful.
Deservingly so.
She's terrific. Yeah, she really is.
And think how daring it was for her to be really a pioneer in this area.
Well, but daring, I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Who is not desperately afraid of Judge Judy, including me? But how was she aware of you? Was it by your reputation as a fellow a judge?
Yes, actually, that's what happened. When I was sitting in the Supreme Court in New York,
right.
They had...
Kings County, right?
In Kings County. Yeah. That's where I was. I ended up leaving from as an administrative judge. But I was sitting on the bench there, and they had some problems with the caseload in the Bronx. I don't know how many people here are familiar with the Bronx, but nevertheless, there was an extremely large backlog of cases, and they wanted to put someone there who they felt would put a dent in that and would fairly resolve these matters and move them along. So I spent a year there. Of course, that got me some notoriety.
Right.
Interestingly, it also got me in the Chicago Tribune.
And what was the story?
What happened was, apparently you have a backlog in Chicago as well.
Oh, of course we do. Sure, yeah.
And so they said in their article, we need a judge like Judge Patricia DeMango to actually work here in that capacity, not me going here, but having a judge work in that capacity to sort of move these backlog of cases.
I'm so glad you brought this up, and I know I'm interrupting the story of how you got to Hot Bench. However, this is so important. And you know this because you did this. So what was your secret when you went in? Because you've got to hear these things. You got to allow these attorneys to stand up and go, I need a continuance or whatever game they're trying to pull at a particular time. How are you able to fast track so many cases?
You know, first of all, it sounds like it's a game, but really it's a defense strategy. And defense strategies are only likable to people who are defendants, you know, when you think about it, because that's what you'd want. There's a benefit to defendants in a delay in a court proceeding.
Sure.
Memories fade, people lose interest. But for myself, I was just, you know, I spoke to the defendants directly, and that was a very unusual approach. What I would do is actually explain to them what was going on, everything about the proceeding, what I thought the pros and cons of their case were, the balances, the weight of the evidence against them, the range of sentence, and I was very firm with them about it. And sometimes their lawyers have told them, but they're not always trusting, believe it or not. Even if they pay a lot of money for them, they're not always trusting of their attorneys. And, you know, and I would just put it out there. This is the deal. You want it? Fine. You don't? You go to trial. You know, and there was no backing down from it. And they would go and they would go out. And I would follow the case, even with another judge, to make sure that the rules that I had set out in the case were going to be followed. And, you know, not everybody likes it. And the judges didn't always like it. But the bottom line is,
you got it done.
It worked.
You got it done, and you got the work done for the people. Justice was served for the people.
Yeah, because you know what? Not every case is a smoking gun.
Right.
Not every case is a winner is going to be worth the maximum jail time. So as a judge, you have to balance the equities of the case, the stress on the victim. Some are elderly. You can't put them in. Children. Some of them are, are very young children. And you don't want to put them through that. And sometimes it's a first arrest for a kid who's not really a bad kid. So you really do have to balance and weigh these equities before you put it out there.
So why aren't more judges doing what you were asked to do and what you accomplished there?
It's an approach. It's an approach. Other judges have other strengths.
But it's an important part. Well, here's the thing, though. You have the experience where you're standing up. You can tell a half-assed attorney the minute they walk into the court, somebody who maybe isn't prepared for their client or somebody who's just interested in their own agenda and they're going to waste your time. You can read that. So you have a choice. As I understand your business, you then have a choice as a judge to take the track you took or to allow this attorney to give him the latitude that he needs or she needs to do their job. You did what the people needed. Move these cases along.
Yeah. And I wanted to do it effectively and fairly, and that's really the tough part, to make sure that you're not hurting anybody in the process of trying to do justice swiftly and fairly.
Hot bench is a unique concept. You got 48 judges. No, a lot of judges. You're my favorite. On CBS.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, on CBS 2 at 2 and 2:30. But when we come back after the big story, we're going to talk specifically about the show and the different world you're in now. between the cases you dealt with and
very
the cases
different.
You get now.
Very
and
different.
Whether or not you've considered violence against anyone on the show. It's 9:30. Let's take a quick break. Come back with a big story in a moment on 720 WGN. 9:43. I just got my cell phone rang, and it was Judge Judy.
What'd she say?
She said, will you let Patricia finish the story of how we met? I said, Judge Judy, don't yell at me. She said, I'm not yelling. She's the best. You know how much Judge Judy made last year?
$1 million.
Enough for Bill Gates to call and go, I need some money for the weekend. That's how much she made last year. It is Hot Bench, and it's 2 and 2:30 on CBS 2 here in Chicago. And in studio is Judge Patricia DeMango. All right, finish the story that I interrupted so Judge Judy doesn't get mad at me. So you're on the bench in Kings County. You go to the Bronx to take care of the backlog that we talked about. There's some press from that. Is that where she heard about you?
Not exactly. The press, I guess, put me on the tips of the tongues of certain people involved there. So when Judge Scheinlin was looking to bring someone out to interview or to audition for her show, for Hot Bench, she was looking for an East Coast judge, and she called in, and she called someone, and she said, is there somebody in New York? She said, I'm looking for someone like me, only younger. And he said, Judge DeMango.
And there you go.
And the rest is history. So I got a phone call. I'm sitting at home. I'm watching television. It's like a Tuesday night. It's 8 o'clock. So you figure, okay, you spoke to everybody you need to speak to. And the phone rings. And I pick it up. And it's a gentleman on the phone. He said, this is not a joke. I'm Judge Judy's executive producer. He said, do you have a moment to speak with the judge?
Don't hang up.
I love that he leads with this is not a joke. Because who wouldn't hang
That's
up?
That's right. So I said, of course. He said, you'll expect her call in the next 10 minutes. You know, so 7 or 8 minutes later, the phone rings again. I pick it up. And she says, is this Judge DeMango? I said, it is. She goes, do you know who this is? I go, I do now. You know, she had that unmistakable voice as well.
Sure.
And she explained that she was putting this show together and she was looking for someone from the East Coast. She was looking for a judge from the East Coast. And she said, and they gave me your name. She said, would you be interested? Have you ever thought about it? And I'm thinking to myself, I guess every judge thinks they want to be Judge Judy.
Sure.
So I said, well, sure. But, I never thought it would ever happen. She said, well, would you come out here and audition? And, it was a frightening moment because I thought, I had earned this career and this title, and by then I had been promoted, and I said, of course, and I would love to. And she said, how's Thursday? And this was Tuesday. I said, oh, Judge, I'm so sorry. I said, I have a very heavy calendar on Thursday. She goes, Friday it is. And, I was thinking in my head.
That's how you don't say no.
You can't say no to
that's
that.
How you don't
I mean,
say
who's
no.
gonna, who is going to say no to Judge Judy two times in a row?
That's fantastic. What a great closer move.
Yeah.
And when you got together, now listen, I'm picking on her, but I have nothing but respect for her, not just her
That's
work.
That's okay. You can pick her. I'm going to give her your phone number and address. She's going to find you and you'll be sorry.
Yeah, she really will. But I'm told that in person, she couldn't be more delightful.
She is wonderful.
Yeah.
She is a lovely person. She's warm. She's energetic. She's genuine.
That's what I hear.
She's exactly what the type of person you'd want to spend time with and talk to and bounce things off
right.
with. She's just a very full, well-rounded person. She's she's terrific.
There's I don't know if you're a sports fan. There's a very famous football coach named Jim Harbaugh, from the pros and ended up at the University of Michigan. When he left the San Francisco 49ers, one of the things he wanted to do is kick back and spend some time in his off time. He went to see Judge Judy. He and his dad were in the front row of a Judge Judy show. So she has a huge celebrity fan base.
She does.
Yeah, lots of people don't want to hang with her. Anyway, it's nice to be in business with somebody who's had that level of success in what you're doing. But the three-judge concept's a different vibe.
Yes, it
now,
is.
On the show, I already told you you're my favorite. I like Judge Tanya, creative sentencer, that type of thing, right? That's her motive. That's her history.
Okay.
And then Judge Larry, I'm not a big fan of Larry. The hair is too perfect. I'm not sure I trust him, but I trust you. So how does the interplay work when you have a case on the show?
It varies. It often varies because you would think that we would consistently, be on the same side, basically, as, one particular judge. But it varies depending on the case, depending on the facts. And we really do go head to head on a number of issues. We try to, it's interesting because we really do try to persuade the other person to see it our way. I guess, when you get to a certain level in life, you just want to be right. you know, right. And you figure two other people joining you in your position makes it better. But we stick to our guns if we believe it, if we believe in our position, but we're open-minded enough to be swayed on occasion. Credibility is always a big factor. I am less likely to believe somebody, I think, than the other two are, based on 20 years of listening to people not totally credible or believable.
Well, I mean, I grew up in New York. It's an East Coast sensibilities thing, too, where, you know, you meet somebody and you go, prove to me that you're telling me the truth. It's not that you're a bad person. It's just you come in with a certain set of, I think it's just eyes wide open.
I think you're right. Eyes wide open. You know, everyone in this room doesn't have to prove to me that certain things, but, you know, you get a sense, depending on the circumstances that you're in.
Yeah, your instincts, I'm sure, are great.
Cynicism, too. I always said, Judge, that everybody, having sat through bond court and covering courts for many years, I always said that a civics class should sit through bond court for one day, one full day from start to finish, and everyone should serve on a trial as well to really see what you go through.
I never ended up sitting on a jury, but I always regret that I did not. Because
I love jury duty.
It would have given
me a
difference.
I did it twice. I loved it. I'd do it again tomorrow.
I mean, I think it's fantastic.
I did it once. Yeah.
You know, and when I was a teacher, I taught college for a number of years while I was in New York. I would always let the students come in, and we would sit. You call it bond court. I would say not in arraignments, night arraignments.
Yeah.
And they would sit, and you. It's amazing the things that you hear and see. And unless you're in the room, you just don't get it.
Right.
You're going to write a book?
You know, people say that to me all the time. You're going to write a book. I think if I felt that I had something important to say or a message and I was comfortable with it at the time, it would probably be a very nice thing to do. Because it's always wonderful to give back if you can and to impart something that you've learned in life, maybe the hard way, to someone to help make their path a little easier.
You know, you've been witness to a great sociological study, whether you wanted it or not, through the years and the people you've dealt with in court. So you have enough embedded just in what you've witnessed to be able to tell that story, whatever it turns out to be.
Thank you. Yeah, so. I hope so.
I hope Hot Bench continues to be a big success. It's perfect for me because it's 2 or 2.30. Here's what I do, Dave. I go home after a long four-hour day here at the plant.
Right.
Right, and I get home and I slip into my footy pajamas, you know, and I'll watch a couple of episodes at Hot Bench, and then Jake Tapper comes on, and I'm out in 5 minutes.
What an image.
Huh? Wow. Perfect or what?
What an image.
So. But congratulations on the success.
Thank you so much.
Got a website you want to plug with this, or should we just say 2 and 2.30 on CBS2?
You're actually right about that. We do have a website, and it's www.hotbench.tv.
Hotbench.tv. Are you a social media type?
We are. We have a social media site as well that we could be reached
right.
on. And
you can link it right through the website.
Are you allowed to tweet? You probably can't. I mean, you personally can't.
Okay, at HotBenchTV.
I can't even spell tweet.
You know what? That'll keep you out of trouble. It's really nice to meet you, and
thank
I hope you enjoy
so
Chicago while you're here.
I love being here, and I'm thrilled that I've met all of you, and I hope to come back again. Thank
you're
all, you so
you're
much.
You're welcome anytime. Take care. 9:51, back with Bill and Wendy in a couple of minutes on 720 WGN.
I will go far now. A great big star now.
You two may join the cause of big star.
BACOSSE.
Remember, the goal is YouTube makes John such a big star, we force him off the show. And musical director John DeCosta is here as now. You're never offended by that because you know
no,
that
not at all.
All you want is rich and famous.
I want rich and famous. Yeah. I want to be off of the show today.
Yeah. All right. So before you are off the show, we want to direct people to your YouTube channel.
Yes,
it's
today.
It's called This Month with DeCosta.
Today in DeCosta.
DACOSSE. Today in DeCosta.
Yes.
DACOSSE. Yes. And you are going to add another dozen videos very quickly.
We just finished about a dozen on Sunday, so we've got more. We just keep plugging away.
All right.
It's pretty good.
And these are videos that include you doing simple things around the house, more complex things, but all of them should be incredibly tedious to watch another human being.
Without a doubt. And they're all about a minute long, so that's the, you know.
Not going to take a lot of your time.
No.
Great way to waste time at work, though.
You can binge watch them. So.
You can binge watch a whole season of John in 15 minutes.
Yes. Netflix will be picking this up. No, they're not.
How do you find the time to put these together? It takes a lot.
You'd probably give credit to your team, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Christy Vaccari, phenomenal. Yeah. Everybody else.
Christy Vaccari's forced labor of her children.
Forced labor of her children.
Yes.
Little Frankie and Isla, you know. Yes. I've run through a lot of ice cream.
Friends at Zanies?
Yes, Friends at Zanies. Brian Williams are phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Zanies, on May 15th, you and I will be at Zanies for another one of the. Because here's why, and I'm not gonna BS you about this. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when I was a bigger kid, I wanted to be Letterman. You know, and then my hair fell out. So you know, the idea that this melon would have worked out on TV in the long term, probably not so much. But in the meantime, radio worked out pretty well. You know, did a lot of TV, did a lot of film stuff, did this, did that. You know, of course, everybody remembers me as a dancer. But having said all that, I always have a love and affection for late night TV. And I always will. So I said to John, I said, let's do a late night show on stage at Zanies. And
we did one last summer.
Well, yeah, that's why it's called Late Night to Me.
Yeah.
So early late night.
Steve Cochran, early late night to me. Another one coming up on May 15th.
May 15th. We've only done this one other time. We did it last year at Rosemont. A couple hundred people came out. We had a blast. A couple of guests will be there. We've got comedy, music, Cirque du Soleil. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are not reinventing the wheel. Yeah. We have a band.
Yes.
It's a small band. Yeah. We have a desk. It's a small desk.
Yes.
But we're not reinventing the talk show format. We got a couple of guests, got a couple of funny bits on stage. We got a music act. We got maybe a little stand-up, all on stage for one low price.
Now, who's in the Cirque du Soleil? I'm just curious.
The Cirque and the Du.
Uh-huh.
The Soleil is busy.
Soleil cannot make it. No, that's a good point. Soleil will not
be
there.
Right. Yeah. How do people get tickets?
Then go to zaniesrosemont.com. May 15th, 7 o'clock, early.
All right. So once again, to review, go to Twice a Week in DeCoss on YouTube.
A day in.
What is it again?
Today in DeCoss.
Today in DeCoss. D-A-C-O-S-S-E.
If my numbers are hurt by the fact that you have never been accurate.
Worst plug ever. Today in DeCoss on YouTube and Zanies.com for tickets. Thank you, John.
Thank you.